Cleveland hosting the GOP convention and rocked by the insurance bill. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio. Cleveland is expecting a wild mix of Republicans and protesters as the GOP convention kicks off next week. It's hard to predict what will happen, which is why the city boosted its insurance policy to $50 million of coverage. The increase came after concerns about higher risk of terror attacks and clashes at demonstrations. From the Marketplace desk at OPB, Mitchell Hartman has more on the tricky business of insuring the unpredictable.
It was very wild down here, quite a scene, almost riot-like conditions.
This was Pittsburgh TV station WTAE covering street protests after a recent Trump rally. Cleveland could face the same thing, says Rob Hoyt, a professor of insurance at the University of Georgia.
We're in a period of heightened protests, so certainly a heightened period of risk.
Hoyt isn't surprised Cleveland has quintupled its liability coverage as the convention approaches. James Lynch at the Insurance Information Institute says extra protest coverage is mandated for special events like political conventions, papal visits, and the Olympics, where large unpredictable crowds are gathered.
Typically, they'll cover something like damage to an adjoining property, or if a car got damaged during some sort of an enforcement action that the police were confronted with.
In Philadelphia, meanwhile, the city has taken out a policy to cover lawsuits that might arise from police action during the Democratic convention there. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's check markets around the world. Stocks are lower across Europe following yesterday's terror attack that killed at least 84 at a Bastille Day celebration in Nice. In France, shares are down 0.8%. In the UK, shares down 0.1%. And in Germany, shares are down 0.6%. Asian markets closed mixed. Wall Street futures point to a slightly lower open. Later today, we will get new numbers on U.S. retail sales and inflation. Markets are taking in important new numbers out of China. Sean Ryan is managing director of China Market Research Group and joins us now. Sean, the Chinese government reported 6.7% economic growth today. That would be enormous in a Western economy, but what does that kind of number mean for China?
Well, what's important is China's economy is slowing in terms of its growth, but it's really not that bad. So China's growth grew 6.7% in the first half of the year, beating expectations of 6.6%. So what's starting to happen is China's economy is shifting from one based off of heavy investment to one based off of innovation and consumption.
Now, a lot of American companies are banking on China as an export market. How do things look for American firms doing business over there these days?
It's still quite strong. You look at a company like Starbucks, their second largest market in the world is now mainland China. Yum Brands also generates more than 50% of its revenue in mainland China. And the important thing is the Chinese consumer is really saving the economy. In the first half of 2016, 73.6% of economic growth came from consumption. So the labor markets are still tight. It's still very easy to get a job. Wages are still going up 10%. And it's the Chinese consumer that's spurring revenues for American companies.
Sean Ryan at China Market Research Group. Thanks.
Thank you.
The UK's vote to leave the European Union is raising questions about how America's business ties with the UK may change. We wanted to talk about that with Antonia Romeo. She is the new UK General Consul General in New York and also Director General of Economic and Commercial Affairs USA. A big part of her new job is keeping ties with the American business community strong, which is a totally new challenge following the Brexit vote. Antonia, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So your appointment was announced in April. 2 months later, we had the UK voting to leave the European Union. So you started this job under very different circumstances than you might have expected. I mean, how much of a tougher assignment is it given the Brexit vote?
So in a way, what this has done is it has made the job even bigger than it already was. We are the US and UK are each other's major investors. Part of my job is to be talking to the investors out here, reassuring them that the British economy is open for business. We're a fundamentally very strong, highly competitive economy, and we want to bring US investment into the UK. And I also work across North America on the trade and investment side.
What questions are you getting from business leaders in America that are different than, say, what they would have asked before the vote to leave the European Union?
The key thing for us is to limit the amount of uncertainty. It's inevitable there's going to be a bit of uncertainty immediately following the vote. As you'll have seen, we had a new government form There will need to be a plan to be worked up. We've set up a new department, the International Trade Department, under the leadership of Liam Fox, which is going to be determining our new trade and investment policy. So in the short term, my job is to understand from investors what that policy should best be from the point of view of the UK's relationship with the US.
Antonio, this vote was driven in part by people in the UK who just don't feel globalization and trade has done much for them. And we're hearing some of the same things from American voters on the left and the right. As someone whose job is to talk about the benefits of trade, how do you handle this attitude?
So I don't think that the vote was an anti-trade vote. I mean, obviously, there's a huge number of factors involved, but it was a vote by the British people about their relationship with the European Union, not with the world. So what this government wants to do and what my job is to do is to forge a bold, new and positive role for ourselves in the world as a major trading nation. We'll be looking to develop trade deals and agreements with countries outside the EU. As I say, the US is our number one trading partner. So therefore, from our perspective, that's going to be absolutely the top priority, which makes my job incredibly interesting.
Okay. Antonio Romeo, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
And finally, the mobile game Pokemon Go is now a cultural phenomenon and a giant business. Big corporations are hustling to link their brands to the game. And now, of course, the presidential candidates are even piling in. Hillary Clinton's campaign is holding an event at an Ohio park where Pokemon players gather, aiming to catch young voters. And Donald Trump's campaign has a new Pokemon-themed video attacking Clinton. It has more than 6 million Facebook views. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Nguyen. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech, and I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.